دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
روز بخیر دوستان عزیز شنونده، شما عزیزانی که علاقمند هستید به برنامه دنیای ما، جامعه ما، و امیدوارم از میهمانی که امروز هم در برنامه هستن استفاده ببریم، باشون آشنا بشیم، چرا که ایشون در حال حاضر نامزد نمایندگی در کنگره آمریکا هستند از ناحیه 36 کالیفرنیا. و اگر که اطلاع داشته باشید و مطمئنم بسیاری از شما آشنا هستید با مناطق مختلف کالیفرنیا، ناحیه 36 جزو نواحی هست که ایرانیان بسیاری در این نواحی زندگی میکنن. بنابراین خوبه که بدونیم که نماینده ای رو که میخوایم از طرف خودمون به مجلس نمایندگان، به کنگره آمریکا بفرستیم، چه مشخصاتی داره و چه کسی هست. میهمان عزیز امروز خانم ملیسا تومیم هستند. همونطور که گفتم در حال حاضر نامزد نمایندگی در کنگره آمریکا از ناحیه 36 کالیفرنیا و تخصص ایشون مبارزه با تروریسم هست که به صورت تبلیغاتی باعث انحراف اذهان میشه. مدرک کارشناسی ارشد رو از دانشگاه یا مؤسسه مطالعات بین‌المللی میدلبری گرفتن در رشته منع گسترش سلاح‌های هسته‌ای و تروریسم. ایشون سالهای زیادی رو به عنوان روزنامه نگاری، محقق و مستندساز در امور افغانستان و پاکستان گذروندن. با مؤسسه Operation Freedom Birds هم همکاری داشتند که وظیفه این مؤسسه شناسایی و ارائه کمک‌های بشردوستانه به افغان‌ها و آمریکایی‌هایی است که بعد از ترک ارتش آمریکا از خاک افغانستان در اون کشور گرفتار شدند. I want to welcome you to today's program, Miss Melissa Tumim.
Thank you, Debbie.
It's great to have you. Before I start any question, I'm really impressed by all the things that I learned about you just by reading and translating your bio. And I want to start with your activities about Afghan people in Afghanistan. Please go ahead and explain, during those years that you were active and later on when you joined the Operation Freedom Birds, what were the activities that you have done and the helps that took place just because you were there and you're working in that organization?
So I first got interested in Afghanistan in 2001, a few months before 9/11. I got this email petition that said, oh, the Taliban is so bad, put your name on this petition and send it to, you know, 50 of your closest friends. And I thought, well, this is stupid. I couldn't imagine a world in which Mullah Omar had a computer, knew how to use it, had an internet connection, received the petition, saw my name and gave a damn. So it was just a bridge too far. And I wanted to do something. So I searched Afghanistan women online and I found an organization called the Revolutionary Association of Women of Afghanistan. Now, at that time, I didn't know much. I didn't know that the word revolutionary usually indicates Maoism in the name of a group. What I knew was that this seemed to be a group working for women's rights in Afghanistan. And I looked at the story of their founder, and she had a very dynamic life. She was working for women's rights, and then she started this organization at the age of 20 and was murdered when she was 30. And I thought, well, she sounds like a movie, and I want to write a movie about her. So I got in touch with the organization, and I did that. It took me several years to, in-depth research, but that launched me on a path of investigative reporting on Afghanistan, because during that research, I learned that what I was reading in the news was very different from what people in the Afghan community were telling me. And I just became obsessive about digging and digging further and further to get to understand the story better. And what I ultimately learned was that it wasn't a religious conflict. It wasn't even really that the Soviets invaded because they wanted a warm water port. It was a border war. Pakistan felt unstable in the way it was created in 1947, dividing Afghanistan. And the Afghan people at that time wanted to reunify the part of their country that was west of the Indus River that the British had taken in the 19th century. And they were at the UN advocating for that. And the British government decided, nope, we're going to establish this state called Pakistan, which was established in an unstable way. And because of that, Pakistan, which was created as a military state, the British military was housed, the garrison was in Lahore. So Pakistan was established as a military state. And it took a belligerent attitude toward Afghanistan. Ever since then, it has felt that it must control Afghanistan or keep it too unstable to advocate for reunification in order to maintain Pakistan's own territorial integrity. So it's a border war, and Pakistan is the aggressor. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, and in the process of that, I actually learned a lot about how American foreign policy was influenced by American politicians who were they'd been bought by the Pakistanis. They'd been given shares in an oil field north of Karachi. And that was guiding American foreign policy in the 80s, far more than, I think, than anti-communism was. Anyway, but in more recent times, you know, in 2021, so almost exactly 2 years ago, in August of 21, the Biden administration did this horrific withdrawal of American forces in such a way that, and they put the Taliban back in power. So everything that had happened over the past 21 years was just undone.
Okay.
And again, women are being victimized by the Taliban. They're stuck in their homes. Women can no longer work. Girls can no longer go to school beyond elementary school. Abuse is rampant. Women's rights activists were just butchered by the Taliban. And, you know, we're back to square one. So when this happened, a group of veterans formed something called Operation Freedom Birds. Mm-hmm. They had access to some planes, and they wanted to help evacuate vulnerable people, particularly Afghans who had been working side by side with the U.S. and NATO military.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the biggest problem facing Freedom Birds was that the Biden administration refused to give Afghans refugee status.
Oh, my goodness.
And without refugee status, they couldn't land the planes anywhere. So they started transitioning into a humanitarian relief organization. And as best they could for those first few months, they were providing food and other, you know, food and little stoves and things to Afghans who were living in hiding. And I happened to learn about a particularly vulnerable family because several members of the family were wanted by the Taliban. They had worked closely with the American and NATO militaries. And so I was connected to a member of their family, and we provided food to them remotely. We got them a big delivery. And there were like 22 members of this family in hiding. Oh, no, I think it's even bigger than that, actually. I think it was like 27 members of the family were in hiding. And now that's become prohibitive. It's become too difficult for that to occur. So Freedom Birds transitioned again and now provides humanitarian relief to Afghans who actually did make it to the United States. So you know, people in various places like Georgia and Utah and California and Chicago, because some of those people were brought in and then just parked in a hotel, and they had no money. They had no, they had nothing to survive with.
Right.
So Freedom Birds was helping them with survival packages.
But so I'm glad for those who were able to make it to America and get the help that this organization provided. But from what I'm hearing, a lot of them are left behind. Not only there are a lot of them that were they are left in Afghanistan and they have to face the bad situations that they are facing there with, but there are some in between. They left Afghanistan. They never made it to United States. They are somewhere in bad condition with no food or any other livable. Oh, gosh. That's really sad. And then I hope that soon you guys would be able to reach out to them as well and help them as you were before.
Well,
go ahead.
When I'm elected to Congress, my plan is to very loudly lobby the Biden administration to make Afghans to give Afghans refugee status, who have a reason to be fleeing the Taliban.
Very good. Yeah, because I know a lot of people are coming to United States from the southern borders just because they seek a better place to live, and that's fine with me. Everybody has the right. But we're talking about people whose lives are in danger and they are in need of food and very basic stuff of continuing to live or survival.
They're in need of a safe haven. And what I've been told is that while everyone else is welcomed across the border, Afghans are being turned away at the southern border.
That's really sad. I don't even know what to say. Hopefully, once you are in Congress and a lot of other good colleagues who actually care for human beings and their lives are going to be elected to the Congress, and we're going to see good results in the future. Now, when you become a congresswoman, you're going to be representing District 36. My question for you is that how that experience that you had helping Afghans people is going to help you to be at the service of Californian people or actually people in your district. Do you think that that experience is going to give you more power and more knowledge to make California a better place to live?
I absolutely do, because it's my experience as an investigative journalist that led me down the path of learning about Afghanistan. And that same impulse leads me to dig deeper into what's happening in California. So we hear constantly that we have a housing shortage in California. And it's simply not true. But they tell us, oh, we have such a housing shortage, and it's because, you know, there are so many blockages, and Sacramento puts up so many blocks for developers who want to build housing and stuff, and that's why we have homeless people here. But it's simply not true. In Los Angeles, in the city of Los Angeles, this isn't even mostly my district, because most of my district is separate, is individual cities. But in the city of Los Angeles alone, there are 93,000 vacant units. In Santa Monica alone, 2 years ago, I learned in 2021, we had 5,000 vacant units in Santa Monica, where I live, and Sacramento was forcing Santa Monica to build another 9,000 units. Why do we need 14,000 vacant units in Santa Monica? They're forcing Torrance, which is in my district, to build 10,000 units. Why does Torrance need 10,000 vacant units? What are they up to? Are they just giving money to developers to build apartment buildings that sit there empty? I don't know what their grand strategy is, but what I see is massive waste, and they're using the homeless as an excuse to take taxpayer money for this. and they're not really addressing who the homeless are and how we can get them off the streets in a positive fashion. They say, "Oh, we have to build, we have to have housing first, and we have to have shelters." Mm-hmm. Well, but the shelters are just temporary. But
when Karen Bass took the office as a mayor, one of her priorities was and still is taking care of the homelessness situation. Do you think that she's doing what it takes to take care of the homelessness problem in at least Los Angeles, where she's, I know that all the counties are supposed to work together to come up with a good solution. Do you think that their strategy is what it should be, or still you think there are other things that needs to be done?
I think it's absolutely wrongheaded. I think it's facilitating totalitarianism in California. She's taking over hotels,
right?
Which means she's creating a future with less facilities available for travelers. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a more restrictive movement in this country. They'll have greater ability to monitor people moving around. And that doesn't really help the homeless. Warehousing them in hotels doesn't do anything for them. Mm-hmm. They haven't identified who the homeless are, which is something that I have done. So some 30% of our homeless are emancipated foster youth. When kids get ejected from the foster care system, too many of them don't have the skills they need to thrive in life, and they end up on the streets. Mm-hmm. And we can do better by our foster kids. We have a growing percentage of vacant dormitory rooms because more and more kids are going to college remotely. Mm-hmm. So we can give those foster kids dorm rooms. We can give them college scholarships to state schools. We can give them meal plans. We can take care of them in the way that their parents would. Georgia keeps its kids in the system until the age of 26. If we did that, foster kids who wanted to become doctors and lawyers would have the facilities they needed to do that. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to have a master's or a PhD in engineering, they would have the support they needed to do that. If we give them, we can send them, you know, but not everybody wants to go to university, right? We can send kids to Pierce College. They can learn to be electricians and auto mechanics. They can have real skills, something I wish I had.
So, I know.
There's so much we can do for those, and that's 30% of our homeless population. Now, over 50% of our homeless population are former prison inmates. I learned this by actually talking to the homeless. And I had this reaffirmed by a gentleman last Sunday that I spoke with. Former inmates, when they're released from prison in California, they get $200 and a ride into town. They are dumped on the sidewalk. They are homeless right away. They are committing crimes of survival, just like those foster kids. And a vast percentage of those foster kids end up in the prison system, right? So they're all committing crimes of survival. And the former inmates are committing crimes just to get sent back to prison where, you know, it's safe, where they have a roof over their heads and food. Mm-hmm. And so what we can do for them, I had this conversation last year with former sheriff Alex Villanueva. Mm-hmm. I said to him at an event one night, can we talk about the lack of halfway houses in Los Angeles County? And he pointed at me and said loudly, that's a big problem. I said, well, let's solve it together. Because we do have a chronic shortage of halfway houses. Now, these are facilities where former inmates go to have a stable place to live. They get job placement. They pay for their housing with a percentage of their earnings from their job.
Melissa,
and that way they're...
I'm so sorry, but I have to interrupt and I ask you to stay with us. We have to take a very short commercial break and we'll be back. دوستان عزیز، در خدمت خانم ملیسا تومیم هستیم که ایشون از ناحیه 36 کالیفرنیا نامزد شدن برای نمایندگی در کنگره آمریکا. ازتون خواهش میکنم که تا دقایق دیگر با ما باشید. برمیگردیم. من سعی میکنم که ترجمه یک خیلی کوتاهی رو از اون چیزی که در این قسمت صحبت کردیم خدمتون ارائه بدم و بعد به صحبت هامون با ایشون ادامه خواهم داد. Thank you, Melissa, and just stay with me.
Okay.
And 95.5 FM HD3, Radio Iran.
CBS Autopody Shop به مدیریت دیوید ابراهیم پور اسپانسر گزارش های LAFC. CBS Autopody Shop نام مورد اطمینان شما با سرویس 24 ساعته 7 روز هفته با تیمی حرفه‌ای بهترین خدمات را به شما ارائه می دهند. CBS Autopody Shop با بالاترین امتیاز در یلپ و محبوب میان کمپانی های بیمه چون ستیت فارم، تریپل ای و فارمرز. تلفن 818-523-2600 818-523-2600.
وکیل خود را در تصادفات با چشمان باز انتخاب کنید. دریافت بالاترین حقوق قانونی در رمده‌های رایت شیر و صدمات شدید بدنی بیشک در ید قدرت یک وکیل است. دکتر کامران یدیدی، وکیلی که در تصادفات بی‌رقیب است. با انتخاب دکتر کامران یدیدی، قوی‌ترین وکیل، تخصصی‌ترین تیم حقوقی و زبده‌ترین متخصصان پزشکی در اختیار شما خواهد بود. در پرونده‌های میلیون دلاری از آغاز تصادف تا پایان دریافت میلیون‌ها دلار خسارت، یک متخصص با دنیای تجربه در تصادفات در کنار شماست. دکتر کامران یدیدی، وکیلی که در جامعه ایرانی معروف به دریافت بالاترین خسارت است. 818-999-99-99 وکیل خود را در تصادفات با چشمان باز انتخاب کنید.
برای دریافت ERC اقدام کردی؟
هنوز بعد از گذشت ماه‌ها حتی بهتون نگفتن چه مبلغی میتونین دریافت کنین؟
نزدیک یک سال گذشته ولی هنوز از پول خبری نیست؟
اقدام کردید و بعد کلی معطلی حسابدارتون بهتون جواب نداده؟ یا اینکه کل کارا رو انداختن گردن خودتون و با پروسه پیچیده‌اش کاملا گیجتون کردن؟ اصلا نگران نباشید، چون کمپانی ما با کادری حرفه‌ای و با تجربه در زمینه ERC با هزاران پرونده موفق و تایید شده توسط IRS به صورت ویژه در خدمت شماست.
ما گام به گام شما رو برای رسیدن به پاداش بی‌نظیری که سزاوارش هستید همراهیتون می‌کنیم.
کمپانی ما طبق قوانین جدید ERC این پروسه پیچیده رو از ابتدا تا انتها با تخصص کامل اجرا و شما رو تا رسیدن به پاداش چشمگیرتون همراهی می‌کنه.
برای جزئیات بیشتر همین حالا با ما تماس بگیرید. 1-800-اقبالی 1-800-344-2254.
شنوندگان رادیو ایران، بزرگترین حامی صاحبان مشاغل در لس آنجلس، اورنج کانتی و سان دیگو به شمار می‌روند. رادیو ایران مؤثرترین وسیله برای رساندن پیام صاحبان مشاغل به ایرانیان جنوب کالیفرنیا است. آگهی در رادیو ایران موفقیت شما را دوچندان خواهد کرد. به مهارت کادر بازرگانی رادیو ایران اعتماد کنید. 323-851-5476 323-851-5476.
وقتی باران میبارد، گلها دوباره زیبا، تازه و شاداب میشوند.
و وقتی فرش شما توسط قالی‌شویی باران شسته میشود، گلهای قالی شما درخشندگی خود را باز مییابند.
باران را کلینینگ اند سرویسز علاوه بر شستشو و پاکیزگی فرشهای شما با آشنایی به بافت آنها هنرمندانه بدون آسیب رساندن به فرشهای جدید، قدیمی و حتی عتیقه با بکارگیری دستگاه‌های مدرن توسط شامپوهای ارگانیک آنها را شستشو کرده و زیباتر از روز اول به شما درب منزل تحویل می‌دهد.
قالی‌شویی باران علاوه بر شستشوی فرش، خدماتی چون رفوگری، بازسازی و مرمت انواع فرش، ریشه کشی و شیرازه دوزی را هنرمندانه برای ترمیم فرش شما ارائه می‌کند.
949-369-89 949-369-89
barandrag.com.
خانم آقایون، دکتر ویسوردی هستم، متخصص و جراح چشم و پلک، دارای بورد تخصصی از American Board of Ophthalmology و Clinical Instructor of Ophthalmology at UCLA. خوشحالم اعلام میکنم که در آفیس‌های جدیدمون در بیولی هیلز و نیوپورت بیچ به علاوه گلندل در خدمتون هستم و با استفاده از جدیدترین لیزرها و دستگاه‌های عمل چشم و پلک میتونم بهتون کمک کنم که از دوربینی، از دیکبینی، استیگماتیز و کاتاراکت خلاص شین و دیگه عینک احتیاج نداشته باشید. علاوه این میتونم کمک کنم که با عمل زیبایی پلک چندین سال به شادابی و تناوت صورتتون اضافه بکنم. همیشه من گفتم چشمان شما رو مطابق چشمان خودم مواظبت میکنم و واقعا این جنبه تبلیغ نیست و همیشه سعی میکنم بهترین رو برای مردمی که چشماشون رو به من اعتماد میکنم ارائه بکنم.
با افتخار اعلام میکنیم مطب های جدید در بیولی هیلز، نیوپورت بیچ و گلندل. 310-474-20
دلار دریافت میلیون ها میلیون دلار خسارت برای جامعه ایرانی دستاوردی است از وکیل میلیون دلاری تصادفات پیام شایانی. این است خسارات دریافتی اخیر بزرگترین دفتر وکالت تصادفات در جامعه ایرانی. 13 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل، 6 میلیون دلار در تصادف کامیون، 5 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل، 3,200,000 دلار در تصادف موتورسیکلت، 8,000,000 دلار در تصادف اتومبیل و صدها ستلمنت موفق میلیون دلاری دیگر. از اولین انتخاب، بهترین انتخاب، حیات شایانی.
بالاترین افتخار برای من دریافت بیشترین خسارت برای جامعه ایرانی است.
818-777-777-777.
Streams are where our kids play, and dogs splash. Many provide the water we drink. But are those streams clean and safe? For most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League of America can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. To learn more and get involved, visit IWLA.org. That's IWLA.org.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu recovering now after having a pacemaker implanted earlier today. In the meantime, tens of thousands of supporters and opponents of his judicial overhaul plan holding rallies ahead of a key vote. Now, Monday's vote in Parliament expected to approve the first major piece of legislation in the plan. Netanyahu says he plans on being there Monday. Three people have been killed, three others injured, in a huge house fire in San Antonio, Texas. Authorities say police officers who first arrived at the home kicked in a door and could hear people screaming for help. Six people were rescued from that home. Another violent weekend, 21 people wounded, six have been killed in a number of shootings throughout the Chicago area overnight. This is SRN News.
دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
دوستان عزیز شنونده، سلامی دوباره دارم خدمتتون و خوش آمدید دوباره به قسمت دوم برنامه امروز دنیای ما، جامعه ما. و یک بار دیگه برای عزیزانی که در این قسمت از برنامه به ما ملحق شدن، خدمتتون معرفی میکنم میهمان عزیز برنامه امروز رو، خانم ملیسا تومیم، که ایشون نامزد نمایندگی در کنگره آمریکا از ناحیه 36 کالیفرنیا هستند و فعالیت‌های بسیاری رو در برای مردم افغانستان داشتن و فعالیت‌های بسیاری هم برای ضد تروریسم که البته در طول صحبت‌ها بهش کمی اشاره کردیم و باز هم در این قسمت از برنامه به اونها اشاره می‌کنیم. من در ابتدا ازتون اجازه می‌خوام که اسم چند تا از شهرهایی رو که در منطقه 36 قرار دارن خدمتتون بگم، برای اینکه واقعا ایرانیای خیلی زیادی در این منطقه زندگی میکنن، مشخصا لس آنجلس، بیورلی هیلز، سانتا مونیکا، کالور سیتی، هرموسو بیچ، رانچو پالاس وردس، ریداندو بیچ، رولینگ هیلز استیت، ال سگوندو، منهتن بیچ، تورنس، ونیس، پلایا دل ری و وستوود. خیلی مناطق دیگه هم هست که من ترجیح میدم اگه شما عزیزان برید و سعی بکنید که دیستریکت 36 کالیفرنیا رو پیدا بکنید، و اگر که واقعا میبینید که در اون منطقه زندگی میکنید یا بیزینسی رو دارید، توجهی بدید به برنامه امروز، برای اینکه انتخابات به زودی نزدیک میشه و دوست داریم که بشناسیم نمایندگانی رو که میخوان برن و از طرف ما برای حق و حقوق ما در این ناحیه بجنگن و شرایط بهتر و مناسبتری رو برای زندگی ما فراهم بکنن. Melissa, before we go any further, I want to take advantage of this moment and invite people to go vote. I think that matters. That needs to be really...
It's so important. It's so critical.
One single vote.
I know
vote.
So many people are so feeling so discouraged, but we can't be discouraged. We have to stand firm. We have to show up. And a friend of mine is very, very actively trying to convert LA County to paper ballots. Mm-hmm. If that happens, then we have a real chance at an authentic election. And the reason that I decided I had to go ahead and run this year was when I found out that LA County had purged 1.2 million invalid names from the voter rolls.
To me,
that was like, oh my God, this is a window of opportunity, and I have a duty to step up and run, because I know how to solve so many of our problems, and I can't walk away. I can't do like my friends did and pack up and move to Florida. Or Idaho. So many people
left. Right. You know, about 2 million people left California and went, they just moved to different states.
When I speak and I ask people, who in this room has had a close family member or close friend leave the state, every hand goes up.
Oh, my goodness. That's sad. Let me translate of a little bit of our conversation very shortly, just a summary of it for our dear listeners who maybe don't speak English. Most of our listeners I know are bilingual, but just in case. دوستان عزیز، در قسمت اول برنامه در صحبت‌هایی که با خانم ملیسا تومیم ببخشید داشتم، صحبت کردن راجع به فعالیت هایی که داشتن که کمک میکردن به افغان ها، و بعد وقتی که ارتش آمریکا در زمان ریاست جمهوری پرزیدنت بایدن خاک افغانستان رو ترک کرد و طالبان دو مرتبه برگشت، مشکلاتی که آمریکایی هایی که اونجا بودن باش مواجه شدن و به خصوص افغان هایی که با آمریکایی ها کمک میکردن باش مواجه شدن، و وقتی که اینا تونستن که حتی خاک افغانستان رو ترک کنن و خودشون رو برسونن با آمریکا، متاسفانه اجازه ورود به اونها داده نشده بر طبق اون چیزی که خانم ملیسا تومیم میگن، و سعی کردن که یک مدتی خیلی مواد اولیه زندگی فقط برای اینکه اینها بتونن سروایو بکنن، زنده بمونن، رو به کمپ هایی که افغان ها در اون بودن برسونن، ولی متاسفانه اونم محدود بوده و الان فقط دارن کمک میکنن به افرادی که توانایی اینو داشتن که خودشون رو به خاک آمریکا برسونن، ولی امید هست که به زودی بشه به تمامی افراد کمک کرد. و بعد صحبت به این رسید که حالا که اینشون تجربه داشتن برای کمک کردن به افغان‌ها، یا میتونن این تجربه رو بیارن و برای بهبود بخشیدن به اوضاع کالیفرنیا به ما کمک بکنن، و ایشون میگن که 100% اون تجربه‌ای که داشتن کمک میکنه. و یکی از مسائلی که مورد نظر ایشون هست، جدای این که وقتی که وارد کنگره میشن بتونن قوانینی رو به تصویب برسونن که کمک بکنه به افغان هایی که میخوان وارد کشور بشن و دیگر پناهندگان که واقعا جونشون در خطر هست در کشورهای خودشون و یا دور از آمریکا، بتونن کمک بکنن که اونها وارد بشن، و بعد راجع به کالیفرنیا تصمیم دارن که کمک بکنن به اوضاع افراد بی خانمان، با توجه به اینکه طبق اون چیزی که ایشون میگن مسکن در کالیفرنیا زیاد هست، کمبود مسکن بر خلاف اون چیزی که تا به حال مسئولین گفتن وجود نداره. ایشون میگن که در لس آنجلس، فقط تنها در لس آنجلس 93,000 مسکن هست که در حال حاضر آماده استفاده است و کسی توش زندگی نمی کنه. همچنین در سانتا مونیکا و شهرهای دیگه، و بهتره که از این مسکن ها استفاده بشه به نوع صحیح تا اینکه اون مالیاتی رو که مالیات دهندگان میدن برای اینکه وقف افراد بی خانمان بشه، به توسعه دهندگان ساختمان ها داده بشه و اینا سعی بکنن که بیشتر ساختمان سازی و خانه سازی بکنن. و ایشون فرمودن با کاری رو که الان شهردار فعلی خانم کارن بس دارن انجام میدن هم موافق نیستن، برای اینکه ایشون دارن از هتل ها استفاده میکنن برای اینکه جای زندگی به افراد بی خانمان بدن، که این باعث میشه که افرادی که میان و لس آنجلس و کالیفرنیا رو بازدید میکنن به عنوان یک توریست جلوش گرفته بشه، درآمدی که میشه از اون طریق داشت جلوش گرفته میشه، به خصوص که کالیفرنیا به خاطر موقعیت آب و هوایی و پارک‌های اجتماعی که داره 100% یک مکان مناسب هست برای اینکه افراد زیادی بهش مسافرت بکنن. ایشون فرمودن که مشکل بی خانمان‌ها یه مقدار خیلی زیادش حدود 30% برمیگرده به سیستم شکسته و نادرستی که در اون چیزی که ما بهش DCFS میگیم، در واقع دیپارتمنتی که از بچه‌ها و فامیلی‌ها قراره مراقبت بکنه، و بچه‌هایی رو که سرپرستی ندارن و از اینا نگهداری میشه در 18 سالگی یه دفعه وارد خیابون میشن و اینا جایی ندارن، نمیتونن درسشون رو ادامه بدن، در صورتی که گفتن که در ایالتی مثل جورجیا این افراد بی سرپرست اجازه دارن تا 26 سالگی در اون خونه های مخصوص بمونن، بهشون کمک میشه برای دانشگاه رفتن، درس خوندن، که این باعث میشه اونا شغل داشته باشن و جمعیتی نباشن که اضافه میشن به هوملس ها و بی خانمان ها. نکته دومی رو که بهش اشاره کردن، افرادی هستن که از زندان ها آزاد میشن که با توجه به اون پولی که بهشون داده میشه وقتی که از زندان میان بیرون، نمیتونن مسکن یا غذایی رو حتی برای خودشون تهیه بکنن، و این باعث میشه که باز هم برای اینکه زنده بمونن مجرم بشن و دست به کارهایی بزنن که جرم محسوب میشه. و البته گفتن بچه‌ای هم که توی فاستر کیر بودن و سرپرست داشتن هم متاسفانه گاهی مجبور میشن که نه تنها تو خیابون زندگی میکنن، مجبور میشن دست به جرم بزنن. I tried to make it as short as possible and I tried to say it as fast as possible because I still have a lot of questions for you. Before we go back to California, Melissa, I want to talk about your last name, Tumim. It sounds to me to be a Hebrew name, and I think there's a meaning to it as well. If I'm not mistaken, Tumim means integrity.
Yes, that's one of the meanings.
Or in Persian, sedaqat benoy. You want to talk about it a little bit? Am I correct, first of all? Is it a Hebrew name?
Okay. Yes. It's a Hebrew word that means integrity. Among other things, it also means truth. It's a biblical reference. So in the Temple of Solomon, the high priest in the Holy of Holies would wear this breastplate, and in the breastplate were these two pockets with these tokens, the Urim, which means light, and the Tumim, which means truth or integrity. And the priest would cast these tokens to indicate the issuance of a judicial decision. So if it was a guilty verdict, he would throw down the Urim. If it was a not guilty verdict, he would throw down the Tumim. And in English today, we still use the phrase pouring sunlight on a crime. So if there's like corruption in a system, journalists say that, you know, sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I think that comes down to us from the Urim. Mm-hmm. And Tumim, as I said, means truth and integrity. And it's an indication of innocence. So yeah, I take my name very seriously. It is a guide star I use to, you know, kind of point me in the right direction in life and do what I think is responsible.
That's great. very nice. I'm sure it's a good heritage. And I have heard it before too, that names actually build characters somehow. And the person carries the character that the meaning of that name has. And I'm sure that's the case right here for Melissa Tumim as well. Now that we talked about the Hebrew last name, it reminded me that I read your bio that you also had some activities to fight anti-Semitism. I would like to learn more about those.
Well, this goes to the reason why I got involved in politics a few years ago. I did my master's thesis on the propaganda strategies of the Muslim Brotherhood with a focus on the Muslim Public Affairs Council and the Council of American Islamic Relations. So these various Hamas front groups in the United States, as well as their branches in Europe. I did a lot of research in Europe. And I kept finding, and I was a Democrat when I started this process, and I kept finding Democrat leadership sitting down to dinner with Muslim Brotherhood leadership. And that was a real problem for me. So I thought, I better check on my congressman. And there was Ted Lieu accepting awards from them and giving speeches from them and proposing legislation to punish somebody, to punish a television sponsor that they were mad at, which is absolutely, you know, against the First Amendment. But Ted Lieu was serving the interests of people he supported. Meanwhile, he loves to brag that he's fighting anti-Semitism and that he's part of the anti-Semitism task force in Congress. But when, you know, ISNA members and CARE members like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib make anti-Semitic statements in Congress, Ted Lieu doesn't stand up for the Jews in his district. Mm-hmm. Au contraire, he actually mimics Ilhan Omar in the press. He repeats what they're saying. He doubles down on their anti-Semitism. So I looked at how he behaved and I thought, I can't have that man representing me. I'm female, I'm Jewish, I better get busy and get active in the political system. And I started out volunteering for a man who was running against Ted Lieu. And then when he chose a different path, I thought, well, I guess I'll step up and do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard. I mean, 20 years ago, I had an argument with this attorney. He said to me, Melissa, they hate us. They've always hated us. They will always hate us. You'll see when the pogroms come. And I said to him, John, you're wrong. We live in a constitutional democracy and conditions are going up. Everything's improving. You know, human relations are improving. Bigotry is dissolving. It hasn't really been a thing in my life. And I saw him at a wedding in 2008. And I said, John, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Anti-Semitism is on the rise and it has gotten so bad that a friend of mine from Europe, he works with film festivals and he's afraid for Europeans to find out he's Jewish.
Oh my goodness.
And in Paris, the Jewish community is taking flight. The Jews are moving to Budapest. They're moving to Eastern Europe. The Jewish neighborhood in Budapest is thriving because Jews are getting attacked in Paris. Jews are getting attacked in London, and anti-Semitism has become just rampant. And it's so bad. I heard recently that the Jewish dean of students at the University of California at Berkeley has approved the establishment of Jew-free zones on campus.
Yes, I heard about that, but I don't think that, did it go through? Is it still, there is a free zone?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I plan to check to follow up on that to see if that really is, if it is coming true or not. But I mean, what's undeniable is that anti-Semitism is rampant on campus, and kids who stand up for Israel are abused by their fellow students and by professors. Kids can't say what they really believe. They can't, you know, and we know that anti-Israel propaganda is really just anti-Semitism. I think it's important. Most people don't know. I mean, probably your audience knows, but the average American doesn't know what occupation means to fundamentalist Muslims in Islam. In Islam, occupation, any place that was ever under Islamic rule that is not currently under Islamic rule is considered occupied territory. That goes for a big chunk of Italy, all of Spain and Portugal, you know, parts of, you know, Greece, whatever. All of this was once under Islamic rule, and it's considered occupied territory. So when they talk about occupiers, it's not just, you know, it's not just settlers in the West Bank. Mm-hmm. It's not just Israeli soldiers protecting them from attack. It's a lot broader than that.
I hear you. Melissa, now that we talked about Ted Lieu and Democrats Party, I noticed that, because usually the guests that I invite and they're running for, let's say, in Congress or council or something, they usually say they're Republican or they are... Democrat, they wear red or blue. I noticed that in most of your pictures, you were wearing purple. And I wasn't wondering if that has any meaning or is just your favorite color.
I like to say, if this campaign was about me, I would be wearing red. My campaign color would be emerald green, because that's my favorite color.
Okay.
My campaign color is purple, because I really believe it's time to set aside labels. I am a Republican, but I believe that these labels are not helping us anymore. And I don't know what is a conservative and what is a liberal anymore. I don't think anybody really does. It's time to set these things aside and come together to solve problems. One thing I want to say, you know, about, I want to go back just a second and talk about, the Afghans, mm-hmm. because it sounds like I don't like Muslims from what I said, but almost all the Afghans that immigrate are Muslim. And the difference between them, the Afghans are not, they hate the Muslim Brotherhood. Afghans know that the Muslim Brotherhood was very instrumental in the destruction of their country. Mm-hmm. And I think that's,
no, I think it was pretty much clear that what we're talking about is about radicals who think that they should exist and nobody else does. They are,
exactly.
They feel that they are the only one who should live in the world and everybody else has to be destroyed, and that's the only way they go to heaven. We're not talking about real people.
We're not talking about people.
Yeah.
We're not talking about ordinary Muslims who are just following an ethical guideline, you know, and living according to their heritage.
Right.
We're talking about people with a global political agenda.
Yeah. Well, I hope the way that you wear purple, and that's the color of your campaign, all the people in the world learn that we are created by one God and only God, and we're all the same. We can understand the meaning of oneness, and we all...
Yes.
Everybody together, we work toward reaching to that oneness, peace, bringing peace to the world, and we live happily ever after. With that being said, there is no more time for today. It was really a pleasure having you, Melissa Tumim, and the conversation that we had and everything that I learned from you.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I look forward to talking to you again.
Certainly.
I'm meeting members of your audience.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to you too. دوستان عزیز، تا هفته آینده و برنامه آینده دنیای ما جامعه شما، ببخشید دنیای ما جامعه ما، ولی خیلی اشتباه هم نگفتم، دنیای شما جامعه شما. همگی شما رو به خداوند بزرگ میسپارم. روز خوش و خدا نگهدار.
به رادیو ایران گوش میکنید. 95.5 FM HD3 Los Angeles. رادیو ایران.